announcements. Good number out with us here this entire day. Thank you for being back on a Sunday night. A Sunday night where the storms are starting to come in and starting to rain. You got to wear a mask. Sit out of every other row. I know all those things are good excuses not to come out. But the fact that you chose it and made the effort says a lot about you. And it's not lost upon me. And some of you have heard me say that for 6 years. But I mean it from the heart. And I appreciate the fact that you're here tonight. I appreciate your interest in spiritual things. And I appreciate the encouragement that I know I receive from the fact that you're here. A church with 2020 vision. That's our theme for 2020. Come, let us. Each month we have chosen different subjects. This month has been baptism. All my lessons has been on baptism. Some are here tonight, weren't here this morning, preached a lesson entitled Five Questions about Baptism. And tonight what I'd like to do is continue on with that idea of baptism. Last time I get to speak to you this month, Lord willing, we'll begin a gospel meeting next week, and you will enjoy that, I guarantee you. But again, I just want to remind you and those who are watching online, I did see that there are folks who are signed in. We thank you for following along with us here this evening. But I'm going to provide you book, chapter, and verse from the Bible for everything I've got to say here. We are a people of the book, the Bible. We believe that it's not just simply an old relic of religious ideas, but as it professes to be the mind of God revealed. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 16, for we have the mind of Christ. And so I'm going to provide you book, chapter, and verse from it so that you might be able to see where that we are gathering these things. There is a statement here of Jesus that is so plain and yet so controversial that you rarely actually hear it, referred to by denominational preachers. You'll have a hard time watching the televangelists and hear them bring this up. If they do, as I have seen some do, Billy Graham in particular, when he was living, would preach and he would speak and say this particular verse, would go at great pains to attempt to explain away what it clearly teaches. And that's the way a lot of it is in regards to the Scripture, as people twist the Scripture to their own destruction, as Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 3, about verse 16. I wish for you to turn to Mark 16, as I've already said, in verse 16. We're going to read that here in just a few moments. You know, time to time, as a preacher in particular, you may have had this experience as well, but especially as a gospel preacher, I will have someone say, if I'm going to go preach at a location, or maybe I'm in someone's home, and they'll say, what's your view on? What's your view on this particular scripture? And for a long time, I thought, and I don't want to really convict everyone of this, but I always thought that those were kind of honest questions, that maybe they wanted to learn a little bit more about that particular verse. But really what I found out a lot of times was, do you believe what I believe? That's basically what it was. And they needed to see whether I was a heretic or not before they would pass the mashed potatoes. And so I would have to talk about those things. You know, when it comes to my view and what I recommend in regards to your view, is that you just simply, first of all, take what is very plainly and obviously said, just at face value. Doesn't that make sense? I mean, if you want to know how to get into a building and you have a door there and it says entrance in front of it, you really don't need to debate that, Jeff. You really don't. You don't need to fight about it. You just plainly can see that's where I go in, right? It's very obvious. You kind of go through maybe some different scenarios and look from different ways. Okay, this says entrance, this says exit, and there's no pool handle. Now, I can think about this for a while and go through that, and eventually I believe that you will come to the right conclusion. So it is with this verse here tonight. We can take it at its very face value, but, you know, there's a lot of views that people have in regards to it. As a matter of fact, I'm going to suggest to you that there are five views, and only five views, that you can have of Mark chapter 16 and verse 16. And so I ask you tonight to think about it, those who may be listening to the CD or watching this online or watching it in an archive, what is your view? So let's first read it. Jesus there says, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." Now, I can look at that and I can listen to that, and that seems to me that I can very clearly, on face value, understand that. But what I'd like to do here this evening is take a look at the five different views that we might be able to hold. What's the first one? Well, the first one we might hold is that what that verse really is saying to me is that he that believes and is baptized shall not be saved. That is a view that I could hold in regards to Mark 16 and verse 16. There are at least two groups that will hold that view. The atheists will hold that view. They don't believe that there's a God. They don't believe in the Bible, even though we read in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Paul said, in him we live and move and have our being. The psalmist said, the heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament shows his handiwork. The psalmist says in Psalm 14, verse 1, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. But the people who are secular humanists, and unfortunately that is a bigger and bigger percentage of our world today, when they hear a simple statement that like Mark 16 and verse 16, their view is this: he that believes and is baptized is not going to be saved. There is no God. Well, and then there's others who really look at Jesus and his statements and say, well, who cares what Jesus has to say? Jesus really doesn't have anything to say upon the matter when it is all said and done. But Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man will come to the Father but by me. Matter of fact, Peter would say in Acts 14, verse 12, neither is there any other name among men under heaven whereby we must be saved. So the Hindu, the Buddhist, those of Islam, the Muslims, who do not believe or profess Jesus Christ to have any type of authority at all, would look at that and their view of that statement would be very clear. He that believes and is baptized shall not be saved. Shall not be saved. And unfortunately, there's a lot of people in the world who hold that view, so there's one of them. And I ask you again, what's your view of Mark 16 and verse 16. Here's another view that you could have, and that is this: he that believes not and is not baptized shall be saved. You know that view. And there's people in the world today that hold that view. I'm not making any of these up. The universalists hold these to be true. They believe that when it's all said and done, that God is going to really just kind of save everybody. And they grab passages like 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 6, where Paul says, who gave himself a ransom for all. And they take that scripture and say, see, when it is all said and done, Jesus has paid the price, and it doesn't really matter what I do or what he's told me to do. Eventually, God is just going to save me. But you see, that just goes right against the other teachings of Jesus. Jesus said in Matthew 7, verse 13, choose ye to go into the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be that go therein. For straight is the gate and narrow is the way, and few there be that find it, that leads to life, and few there be that find it. Jesus didn't say everyone is going to be saved. He said there would be few, not everyone, that says unto me, Lord, Lord, is going to enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that who doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Most Bible-believing, professing Christians would never treat Mark 16, 16 in the first two ways that these views are. I understand that. But what I want you to see is that there's at least five views that you can take it as. And the second is, he that believes not and is not baptized shall be saved. But let me start getting a little closer to home. Okay? There's another view out there that says, he that believeth not and is baptized shall be saved. This view is held by most who practice infant baptism. By baptism, actually, they mean sprinkling or pouring a little water upon somebody. In infants incapable of faith, they, especially Catholics, indicate that faith is not essential to salvation. Flat out tell you that. You just need to be somehow tethered to the church. I've got a St. Joseph Church Catechism and have read that specifically for myself. The faith isn't necessary. The Lutherans, who are nothing more than an offshoot of that, reformers, if you will, of the Catholic Church, will tell you that the Holy Spirit imparts some. I can recall, as I became a gospel preacher back in 1993, and I would preach sermons on baptism, and began to have a Bible study with a couple, that the young lady would just kind of smile and ask her about that, and she said, "Oh yeah, I took care of that. I was baptized when I was a baby." I mean, these are things that people have, and they've been told that they've been either christened or sprinkled or poured on as a child, and then therefore everything is okay. But listen, speaking the truth in love, I must point out that Bible baptism is for the believer. It is a prerequisite before I can baptize you for the remission of your sins. In the book of Acts chapter 8, beginning in verse 35, you may recall there it says, "Philip began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And they came upon a certain water, and he said, 'See, here is water. What does hinder me to be baptized?' And Philip said, 'If you believe with all your heart, you may.'" And I want you to appreciate that. He didn't say, "Well, there's nothing that's holding you back. There's nothing that's holding you back. Here's water. We'll just stop the chariot and we'll baptize you." But that's not what Philip said. Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." And that makes sense. "He that believes and is baptized shall be saved," is what Jesus said in Mark chapter 16, in verse 16. We could go the route in regards to sprinkling and pouring. You know, it's not Bible baptism. The Greek word there is baptizo, and it means to immerse. It is better to be translated immerse. Ron Daly, a gospel preacher up in Indianapolis, we mentioned him and his praying for him not too long ago. He's in a terrible accident. I understand he's better, but when he talks about John the Baptist, he didn't call him John the Baptist. He calls him John the Immerser. You ever heard him preach? I could just hear him say, "John the Immerser." Because that's what baptism was. It was immersion. But if you're like me, and I've heard people say, "You know what, I just don't really like jumping on to any type of subject where I have to go to a Greek lexicon to prove my point." I appreciate that. Now, I own a Greek lexicon, a couple of them actually. Maybe you don't, but you have a Bible. And what I always recommend is you allow the Bible to be your own commentary. Allow the Bible to be its own dictionary. Paul said in Romans 6 and verse 3, "Why don't you know that as many of us who have been baptized into Christ have been baptized into his death, therefore you have been buried with him in baptism into death. That like as he was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too should walk in newness of life." Baptism is a burial. Buried with him in baptism, risen with him in the same by the faith of the operation of God. Infant baptism is holy, common, away from the commands and the teachings, and without example in regards to Bible baptism. It is for the believer. But those, ladies and gentlemen, who practice such things, I want you to understand what their view of Mark 16:16 has to be. "He that believes not and is baptized shall be saved." I'll show you another view. Another view that a lot of people will have is that he that believes and is not baptized shall be saved. This view is held by those who believe the salvation is by faith only. The one is saved before baptism. The baptism is not essential to salvation. And this view is held for all practical purposes by most members of various denominations. I would say it's probably the most commonly held view. And my goodness, as I look at that slide, it's the one that has the most scripture against it. Maybe I just did that on purpose. I don't know. Now, "He that believes and is not baptized shall be saved." So therefore, the things that Jesus said really doesn't matter. "Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say?" Jesus said, "He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. But Jesus and his apostles clearly taught differently. The apostles taught the idea of being obedient. Listen to Romans 6 and verse 17. But thanks be to God, you were once the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine being delivered to you, then being made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. When did they become free from sin? When they obeyed. It was not at the part of faith. It was at their obedience. The Hebrew writer would say in Hebrews 5 and verse 8, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And then being made perfect, he became the author of everlasting salvation unto all them that obey him. We must obey the commandments and teachings of Jesus Christ. It is not faith only. Turn over in your Bibles to the book of James in chapter 2. We're just going to spend a couple minutes there. My time is passing by. James chapter 2, and I'm going to begin reading some scriptures here to make some comments. Look at verse 14, if you will, if you're there. What does it profit, my brethren, though a man say he has faith and hath not works? Can faith save him? Well, if my view is he that believes and is not baptized shall be saved, the answer to James' question is obviously yes. But I want you to understand that James doesn't leave it at that. He answers that. It's a rhetorical question as he goes through and explains this idea. Notice verse 17. He says, even so, faith, if it does not have works, is dead, being alone. Verse 20, but wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? I mean, how much more plainly could I say that to you? How could God explain that if you don't get around to being obedient to what is said, no matter how much you believe what is said, it does you no good? Faith without the work is dead. I like verse 19. It's one of my favorite verses. Shows me, I think, that James had a little bit of a sense of humor when he says, you believe that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils believe and tremble. Well, you believe? Well, here, let me shake your hand. You're no different than the devil. But there's a lot of people who will tell you that you're a child of God at the point of faith. Look at John chapter 1 and verse 11. He came to his own, but his own received him not. But many that did receive him, he gave them power to become children of God, even those who believe upon the name. When I believe, I now have the power to become a child of God. Verse 24, you see then how by works a man is justified and not by faith only. Verse 26, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead. You can't read that without understanding that this view of Mark chapter 16 and verse 16 is contrary to the will of God. We see 9 conversions from Acts chapter 2 always to Acts chapter 22. And every one of those individuals were commanded and were obedient to baptism. In 1 Peter 3 and verse 21, in like figure, baptism does also now save us. Why doesn't that say, in like figure, faith alone now saves us? The only time the Bible speaks of faith only, it says we're not saved by it. But there's a lot of people that will hold on to this view, he that believes and is not baptized shall be saved. And then there's one more. For keeping count. And that is this, Logan. That what Jesus was trying to say was he that believes, hang on, don't get ahead of me, and is baptized shall be saved. We see in the book of Acts chapter 2 and verse 36, the Apostle Peter is in his sermon and he says, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that this same Jesus whom you crucified, God has made both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and they said, men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter and the rest of the apostles, repent. Let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive for this cause, for you and your children, and those who are far off, and as many as the Lord doth call. And with many other words, he exhorted them, saying, save yourself from this wicked generation. And those that gladly received the word were baptized. Why did they make the emphasis on that? Why was the emphasis those who gladly received the word were baptized? Because Jesus said, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. That's the most obvious, and that is the view that we must hold when it comes to Mark chapter 16 and verse 16. Which position do you hold? He that believes and is baptized shall not be saved. He that believes not and is not baptized shall be saved. He that believes not and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes and is not baptized shall be saved. Or he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. What will you do? Maybe I'm talking to somebody here tonight that needs to be obedient to that. Maybe someone who's listening to my words tonight on a CD or again through the internet. I just ask you and want you to understand that this lesson is for you, that God is calling you to salvation. Not of anything that makes me special, but we preach his word, and it is his word that is calling for you this evening to be obedient to the gospel call. And we're going to extend the invitation to you. We're going to sing this song to encourage you. So if you're subject to it in any way, come forward now as we stand as we sing.
Break your broken life.